We no longer live in a peaceful world. It's an unstable place where terrorism is a constant reality. Wars continue throughout the world, and more countries have obtained nuclear technology. They're developing the horrifying ability to exterminate human life. Even in our own neighborhoods, it seems that we just can't get along. What causes so much conflict and violence in our society? Can we blame an individual for the hostility? Have you considered the primary cause for evil? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss, is there really a devil?
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Evil. Some say it doesn't exist, while others blame the devil for almost everything. He's often depicted as a fairy tale creature, a grotesque red creature with horns, a pointed tail, a pitchfork, and he inhabits the infernal region of ever-burning flames. Christianity proclaims him. Certain other religions do as well, and some people have wondered if the devil really exists at all. Welcome to Beyond Today. To discuss this today, I've invited two guests to join me, Pastor Randy Stiver and Bible educator Dr. Ralph Levy. Welcome.
Good to be here. Good
to be here again.
Now, here we are in the 21st century. Some would say this is craziness to talk about real spirit beings, the reality of a devil. But you can't help but pose that question. Is there really a devil?
Well, Steve, some people would like you to think that there's not. In fact, they would like most people to think that there's not. An actual fact, many people do believe that the devil exists. But there are those who don't, and their behavior shows that. There was a bizarro cartoon I read in the newspaper some time ago. And it shows Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and suddenly this voice is booming from the sky. It's God. And he said, I just want you to remember that everything you see is an allegory, and it isn't really happening. You're actually evolving from apes right now. So there are those who don't want to think about a spirit world.
They want to discount the Bible. They want to discount spirit aspects of this world. Well, Dr. Lee, what do you think about that? Is there some disconnect between reality is and what mankind believes in general?
Yes, there's a disconnect, and there's even a disconnect in the way people think. Randy's example, the joke about God looking down from heaven saying you don't even exist, but there must be a lot of cognitive dissonance in the minds of a lot of people who address this question.
Now, that's a big phrase.
That's a big
cognitive
phrase.
Cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
What do you mean by
that? Well, it means that they've got two conflicting concepts inside their minds working against each other.
Okay.
We live in a society that generally accepts this theory of evolution, as Randy mentioned. On the other hand, it's amazing how many people claim to believe in a spirit world, and what a large percentage of the population says that, yes, indeed, they do believe that there is a real devil. So
those would be two opposing
Each other, yes, yeah. So is there really a devil? Is there really a spirit world? Yes, there certainly is. It's very clear. From physical manifestations, things that impact our lives, and also from the scriptures. The question, of course, is not just is there a real devil, but what is his influence? What's his role?
Well, maybe we could look at that for a minute. If you look at maybe more concrete evidence of that, how would you say, as looking at human behavior, that there is evidence of that fact? Is there something in the way people act, what they do, something in human nature that illustrates the fact that there really is a devil?
Well, there is. When you look at the world and the things that are happening, you can see that there's a pattern historically in the way people have behaved and treated each other. To say is there a devil, the answer is obviously there is, because you don't see the law of gravity, but the law of gravity is there because of the effect it has on things around you and upon yourself.
It's not there doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
You don't fall up, you always fall down. Likewise, when you look through history and you look through your own personal thinking and see that of others, you see an evil and nefarious, which is another fancy word for evil, effect. You see something worse than just regular human selfishness that is driving people. And that is evidence that Satan does exist. Just in the intensity of evil that we see.
So when it comes to the mind, is there something that we could look at in human thinking and reasoning that would mirror this type of
concept?
Yes, there's a very important scripture in the New Testament in Romans 8 and verse 7 that says that the carnal nature is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Makes a very strong statement.
Now, this carnal mind, what is that referring to then specifically?
It's talking about natural human beings, the way people naturally will exist without intervention from Almighty
God. So just
God.
A normal, everyday person
normal kind
have
of guy.
God on their mind.
That's right, yes.
That's what they're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. And I think most people can recognize sometimes that there are things inside of themselves. You know, we desire to get along well with our neighbor, and yet there are tensions. We desire to understand our Creator and our Maker, for those who recognize that indeed there was a Creator. Mm-hmm. And yet there are difficulties in that relationship, as that particular scripture says. And so then the question becomes, well, okay, if a God created humanity, and then it says that here's this humanity on earth kind of resisting God, there's mm-hmm. a tension there. Why would that be so? And the answer, as we get into this, is that within the scriptures we find that somebody got in the way. The kind of relationship that should have been between the Creator and his created human beings, that somebody got between them and mess things up.
So it's more than just wrong thinking on man's behalf.
Right.
There's more to it than that. Would that be fair to say?
Greater intensity of evil in that sense.
And that points us right to the devil.
Exactly. Well, you know, President Bush made a comment in a speech about a half a decade ago when 9/11 in 2001 occurred. He gave a speech shortly thereafter after the terrorist attack, and he says there is good and there is evil, and God is not neutral between them. That's a distillation of profound thinking, and not just his, but many people recognize and understand that. And frankly, I believe that most people deep down inside have a sense of that if they haven't thought it out in such straightforward terms.
It seemed like a few years ago we were more willing to label it as that too, that you could look at hostility, you could look at the conflict, you could look at the agitation, and see there was something more to than just human thinking. But would there be a thing that we could point to, maybe even in history, maybe a smoking gun, if you want to call it that, that would reveal that, you know, the devil is behind some of these things, some of the historic things, some of the things that have even happened more recently as well?
There is a smoking gun of the devil, you know, that shows proof positive.
So
that
not
he's
a pitchfork,
there.
But a
smoking gun being, you know, dead to rights evidence. Mm-hmm. In flagrante delicto, caught red-handed is what that means in legal terms. But when you look at how Christ was treated and how he was killed when he came, that's the smoking gun. Christ was the epitome of everything that is good or has ever been good or ever will be good, the epitome of it. And then he was treated as badly as he was treated and ultimately killed by society that didn't want to have that good in proximity to them.
It's almost like Christ was shown to be evil by society, or they felt he was evil.
That's right. Or else they didn't like to feel guilty.
Right.
You know. But you see, there is something driving that kind of mentality that does that sort of thing. So the way good is treated in society, whether Christ or other good that we find in society, the way good is treated in society with disrespect and scoffing and whatever other flagrant ways it's treated, that is the smoking gun of the devil's existence.
So almost a white and black and opposites type of
That's
thing.
Right.
They call
That's right.
evil good and good evil. And then there's scripture that refers to that?
It's in the fifth chapter of Isaiah. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil, you know, and twist things around. And of course, mankind Adam and Eve didn't display that mentality initially. It was after the temptation, the deception, and they bought into the devil's thinking as the serpent in the Garden of Eden, that their thinking started to go that way too.
Well, let's hold that thought there. How could God allow an evil being like Satan to exist? We have a booklet that's free for the asking. We hope that you'll get on the web or dial a toll-free number and order this booklet. Is there really a devil? Yes, there is. You need to know all about it. Get this free booklet. There'll be a lot more when we come back.
If you were the devil bent on killing the human race, you'd try to probably convince the world you don't even exist. That addictions, violence, and hate are normal human impulses when really your power influences people to destroy themselves. Understand why the world can't get beyond arrogance, anger, and greed in your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv to see the supernatural source of conflicts and tragedies. Answer the big questions about good and evil in the world. Is the existence of the devil just a big joke found in the Bible, or the absolute fact you can't read about anywhere else? Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil?
We've been discussing the devil, Satan, a spirit being portrayed in the Bible as the literal personification of evil, sin, and wrong. Now this raises the great question, why would a good and righteous God create an evil Satan, an evil devil?
God didn't create. He didn't create Satan. God is good. He is the ultimate of goodness. He's the definition of it, really. The Bible says God is love, and that's good. I mean, the right kind of love. Satan, on the other hand, is evil. Mm-hmm. God has nothing to do with evil. He doesn't make evil. And so he didn't create the devil. For example, it says that the devil, Jesus said that Satan or the devil is a liar, mm-hmm. and actually the father of lying. And he put it in that kind of a terminology. Well, God would not make something that is a liar, that is evil, because it is impossible for God to lie, also from the scripture. Mm-hmm. He didn't create a devil.
He didn't create him. Well, we know he exists. We know that Satan, the devil, is real, and yet we know God created everything. Well, that's a little bit of a conundrum then, isn't it? How did he come to exist then?
Actually, it's fairly plain. There are many passages in the Bible that indicate God did create the one who later became Satan the devil. Satan means the adversary. Originally, he was not the adversary. Originally, he was a great angel with great power, and the Bible describes him as one having tremendous wisdom and beauty and perfect. In Isaiah chapter 14, there's a very interesting passage. Now, the passage, some people don't believe it refers to a spirit being, but in fact, if you read it closely, it's quite clear that it refers to someone who's much greater than a human being. And it says that this one referred to as Lucifer, something happened to him. He was perfect originally. He was perfect in beauty. He was perfect in wisdom. But something happened. And when you put the whole picture together with the other biblical references, something welled up inside of this great archangel to cause him to fall in his character. Another indication in the scripture is that this was pride. Pride welled up in him. He rebelled against God. He turned in his character. He turned it into an evil being and apparently took one third of the other angels with him. So that's where the origin was.
So he was good to start with, chose really to be evil.
Right. It reminds me of an interesting quotation from Winston Churchill about a political opponent he had at the time, but let's apply it to the arch fallen angel being Lucifer. Churchill said about his opponent, he says he is a self-made man and he worships his creator. Being himself. Well, essentially, Lucifer started as a holy angel, but he chose evil. Mm-hmm. He made himself into the devil and Satan, and he worships his creator.
Mm-hmm. Now Ralph, you had mentioned that he took a third of the angels with him, so there's more than just the devil himself. He's also got demons with
him. Yes, he has.
And so he's got quite an extent to, I suppose, what you could call his kingdom.
Well, Jesus did call it a kingdom. The Bible refers to him as the God, with a small g, that is, or the ruler of this world, of societies we have it now. He's kind of has to stay around the earth.
Really a scary thought when you get ruler of he's on a throne of this world at this time, isn't he?
The Apostle Paul was inspired to record it that way. The God of this world has blinded those that don't know the truth of God, don't have their mind open to understand it. So he has this domain, which includes his cohorts, the demonic spirits, who are subordinate to him. There's rank and organization within it, but it's all evil. You know, in a sense, it's like the biggest crime family the world has ever heard of.
A spiritual
evil
one. Now, if we get down right to how he does it, how does he affect humanity? How does the devil influence mankind?
Yes, he affects humanity in a spiritual way. I remember hearing a minister describing it as like a radio transmission. I thought it was a very good analogy. Perhaps in terms of the 21st century, a better analogy would be something that we see in many, many public places these days. Many people carry a cell phone with them. Mm-hmm. They pick up a cell phone, hold it to their ears, and they're talking with their friends and family. And so what you've got, obviously, at any place is lots of radio waves, cell phone waves, wireless transmission waves going through the air. Ephesians chapter 2 describes Satan the devil as the prince of the power of the air, the one who now works in the children of disobedience. So the analogy of radio waves, cell phone waves going through, and then human nature, basic human nature being predisposed to tune into that transmission, and that's the way it works. That's the reason why sometimes people feel inside of themselves okay. a basic hostility toward God.
And so he's transmitting, he and mankind has the receiver.
Yeah, he's broadcasting in moods and impulses of hatred and anger and depression.
Not things that we have to do.
No.
But an influence,
but
I guess.
Pushes the envelope, pushes you that way. We choose to do it, or we choose to reject it. And we can decide to be cheerful, or we can decide to be depressed. Mm-hmm. We can decide to be cooperative and helpful, or we can decide to be angry and vindictive.
So you could really get down to it and say hostility and hatred and anger and rebellion, all those things are part of that broadcasting as well.
Whether on the individual scale or on the international scale. When you consider how some governments, in their whimsy and fancy, have destroyed even their own peoples. Adolf Hitler killed 20.4 million people that were under his leadership. They were subjects of nations that Germany had taken. These weren't battle deaths and they weren't capital punishments. They were just purges. But Stalin was worse. He killed, by some estimates, 43 million Russian subjects.
And that influence had to have a part of
that. There's a demonic influence.
Now will it always be that way? Will he have that force? Will he always have that havoc that he's wreaking on mankind?
No, it's not always going to be that way. We know from the revealed scripture that there is very good news on this subject. And the good news is that at some point in the future, Jesus Christ the Messiah will return from heaven and will deal with this problem that is a difficulty that can't be dealt with in the human way. Revelation chapter 20, it talks about Satan the devil being enchained, being thrown into the bottomless pit, being removed out of the way for 1,000 years, and he eventually gets what's coming to him because he was the originator of all human weaknesses and sins and conflict and death.
So even though he's on that throne of the earth right now,
he's going to be removed.
He's going to be removed.
And that's the good news. Then there's peace. Peace inside and peace outside.
When Christ returns. Well, there's a lot to the subject. You need this booklet. We hope you'll go on beyondtoday.tv. Get on the website. Order the booklet. In fact, you can read it right away. Get it right off of the internet. You can begin to learn even more about the subject of the reality of the devil. We'll be back with more after this break.
In a world of pain, conflict, and destruction, how can you explain so much evil? After all, is there really a devil? You need to understand the unseen source of human suffering. Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? While the news about the Middle East seems to get worse, you can get understanding of where it's going in your free subscription to the Good News magazine. See why Jerusalem will remain at the center of the news in articles that regularly keep you up to date in the direction of our world. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription to the Good News magazine.
When you order the free literature we've been offering today, you automatically get a free copy to the Good News magazine, a magazine of understanding. This is a magazine that you need, one that can help you not only understand your Bible, but understand how it impacts your life. So you'll get that free copy. So order the free literature today. Now, we've been talking about the devil and his influence. How can you beat the devil? Here on Beyond Today, we've been talking about his actual existence, his modus operandi, the M.O. of Satan. He's a powerful, completely wicked fallen angel who's up to evil continually. What can you do about his influence on you and your family? So we're talking to our experts today, and we pose that fundamental question. How can you beat the devil? How can you defeat him in your life?
Well, there's an old line to a traditional hymn, Steve, and you like music, and you probably remember the line. What a friend we have in Jesus. Mm-hmm. It is very important, first and foremost, to remember that God is your friend. And God is infinitely more powerful than the devil because he created him. The created being can never be greater than the creator. So he is infinitely more powerful than this fallen angel. However, we have to also remember that the devil has a name, and it's Satan, and it means adversary. It means opponent. It means foe. It means enemy. And he doesn't like us, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So if you remember those two points, then if you're going to beat him, you have to be a friend to God and an enemy of the devil. And then in the short view of it, that's what has to happen in your life. And you have to remember those two points.
And so he opposes us. He tries to deceive us. And I suppose you could say that's the devil's game in that sense.
Well, that's it. Yeah, deception is his game. And we have to remember his game plan. And destruction is his name. So when you understand that he is a deceiver at the core, the father of liars, mm-hmm. as Christ himself called him, and that he is destructive.
Now, what about this destruction, this deceptiveness? How far does that go? To what extent of deception are we really talking about here?
The book of Revelation makes a very broad statement. There's a scripture there that is, I think, reasonably well known. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it talks about Satan, the serpent of old, who deceives the whole world. That's a very broad statement, but it's borne out when we look at the human experience.
It's not just a metaphor.
It's not a metaphor, no. Right. No, it means what it says. You know, it's quite to be taken literally.
The whole world. He deceives the whole world.
And it permeates, his influence permeates everything. Corrupt governments, wrong education, which is too materialistic, business practices mm-hmm. where people try to pull the wool over people and trick them and fraud and that kind of thing. We see this influence permeating everything and going everywhere in society, and it even goes up to the level of religion.
Indeed. And in religion, it's particularly bad. Now, there are a couple of scriptures that talk about that. It talks about how the Apostle Paul makes this comment that there are men who portray themselves as apostles when, in fact, they aren't. They're false apostles. Mm-hmm. And they're self-appointed or whatever. He says, but that's not surprising.
He calls them like deceitful workers.
Deceitful workers, yes. He says that that's not surprising, or there's no wonder because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Hmm. You know, his other name was Lucifer, which means light bringer, thus an angel of light. And so he manifests himself, makes himself look like that. So he has created and motivated mankind to create a whole system, a whole variety, a whole spectrum of false or counterfeit, might be a better term, counterfeit religions. There's always some truth mixed in, but the conclusions are false mm-hmm. because there's so much falsehood into it.
So you see it at every level. You see it at the governmental level, international levels,
exactly.
on the level of religion, and this destructive abilities that Satan seems to bring with him. Why would we refer to it as being destructive in that sense?
Because the Bible calls him that. It gives him the right name. Revelation chapter 9, verse 11 says his name in Hebrew is Abaddon or Apollyon in Greek. There are a couple of strange-sounding words, but then that verse goes on to interpret that, and it says that he is the destroyer. It refers to destruction. So what he does is to destroy.
So God calls him what he really is.
Indeed,
we
yes,
could say that, couldn't we?
Whatever God has planned to do, which is to bring mankind to himself, resurrect them into his family by bringing them through Christ, through repentance and conversion and so on, to receive the Holy Spirit, and ultimately to be resurrected into the divine family of God, into the kingdom of God, in other words. He's against that. Whatever God is doing, then the devil is against it.
He opposes that.
That is what evil is. Evil opposes good. And so he lives up to what his philosophy is, most certainly.
And he tries to do it in a deceptive way.
He does.
I suppose that's the difficult part, then. What can we do? What countermeasures can an individual take to avoid the devil's influences in their lives?
Well, the first thing is to stay close to God. What is called the Lord's Prayer, it's really the Lord's Prayer outline. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just repeat it over and over again. You elaborate on it. But there are two important lines. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we need to ask God's guidance and help on a daily basis. I mean, this is just practical, true Christian.
Stay close to God.
You stay close to God through prayer. That's exactly right. Now, the second step is similar, and it's from the book of James. James was written by a man who was actually the half-brother of Christ. He was one of his brothers, a son of Mary. And Joseph, and James was inspired to record, resist, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that's a strange statement. It says that he will. If you resist him, if you do whatever that resistance is, he will flee from you. It's a promise that has authority and power behind it. And one important to remember as well.
So we've got to pray, we've got to resist. Other aspects of that resistance that we can put to practice?
So that concept of humility is very, very important. You know,
and
same
that's another
chapter,
part of
yes,
the same
Randy was saying, you know, same, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Sometimes I think of this, since there are intimations in the Bible that Satan the devil's problem was pride originally. Mm-hmm. When we as human beings shrink our ego down to size, almost like a giant balloon that gets inflated with air, and if you shrink that balloon and take all of the air out of it, there's no target for him to shoot at. He can't hook us in with the same spiritual problem that he manifested way back when.
And that way back when is important to understand how he brought himself around where he chose the way of evil. You know, everybody has a free choice. He was a free moral agent, as we are as human beings. And he chose that way, and he came to his conclusions. It's recorded in the poetry of Isaiah 14, which Dr. Levy talked about earlier. And that is where he says, I will ascend above the clouds. I will, you know, sit on the mount of the congregation of the north. I will sit on the throne of the stars of God, meaning the angels. I. There are five I's. I will be like the Most High. Or sometimes the translation is more like, I will be the Most High. I will be God. Mm-hmm. Satan is focused on I, he's focused on self. And if we focus just on self, rather than loving our neighbor as ourself and loving God above others, if we're just focused on getting for self, then we're playing into his game.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to focus on self. You can focus on God. Learn about the devil's tactics. Get this booklet. We'll be back to wrap up in just a moment.
Is the existence of the devil just a big joke found in the Bible, or the absolute fact you can't read about anywhere else? Understand why the world can't get beyond arrogance, anger, and greed in your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Make sense of our world by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil?
Is there really a devil? Yes, absolutely. But you don't have to be under the influence of his destruction. God assures us the time is coming when Satan and his works, the suffering, the misery, the mental anguish that he brings will be no more. In the end, there'll be only God and those who've chosen to live his way instead of Satan's. That will be a new earth. And without Satan's influence, there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Randy, for being with me today. When you want to understand your future, we hope you'll remember this program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.